Okay, we're off and going. That was probably loud enough right there. Did I wake you up, Kev?
Oh no, I just got out of the booth. I'm wide awake, Jimmy. Wide awake. We had great games today.
That's the dulcet tones of Kevin Martin, and Warren Hansen joins us each and every week for another edition of Inside Curling. This is a special show, our second one this week, Inside the Men's Worlds, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to give you a quick update on that. And there's another event. The U25 event continues at the Nutana Club in Saskatoon. I think it's called the Best of the West. Thank you all for tuning in, as you do all the time, and thank you for tuning into this show. We couldn't do it without our great sponsors, Jackpot City, Coyote Tractor, and Goldline. Every week, Coyote Tractor brings you hot rock topics.
Sizzling.
And they sizzle. If you have work to do, Coyote has the tractors, the UTVs, the ZTRs, and compact construction equipment to do it. Coyote, we dig dirt. You know, we were just talking off air. Kev, your internet's a little sketchy.
It is.
Yeah, you remind me of, I used to do the daily radio show and I would travel, I had equipment to travel. It would always be sketchy. So I've got a record-setting places that I've done a show from to get the internet.
What's your very best interesting place you've done a show from? And I'm going to tell you mine.
Yeah, I'll tell you. It was standing in between the toilet and the tub of a bathroom. If I went on the other side of the toilet, it wouldn't work. But so I had to move around this bathroom. I don't know why, but for sure, that hands down, yeah. Doing it from a bathroom and a hotel in Jasper. How about you?
For me, the only place I could do it, once again, bathrooms, but I wasn't in the bathroom. I was out front. There was a little table, and it had okay Wi-Fi. And I'm sitting at the table outside the men's and women's washroom at an airport. And I don't remember the airport, somewhere. But everybody, of course, is busy. At the lounge, it was like an Air Canada lounge or some sort of lounge. But so there's a million people walking by, and I've got all the podcast stuff set up. And I'm trying to do our show. It was about 3 years ago, and everybody's bugging me, of course, going, "What the hell are you doing here outside the bathroom?" Yeah. I go, "Oh, it's a good internet. Like, what am I supposed to do anyway?"
We got to do a video of your man cave. Tell us a little bit about the basement and the stuff that you have in there, Warren, that you've collected over the years.
Well, it's fairly extensive. I've been collecting memorabilia probably for 40, 50 years. I've got a lot of my own, but I've got a lot of unique things that have come from events, various things that have been presented to me or other people, a lot of banners from 88 Olympics, 2010 Olympics. Yeah, so kind of a lot of unique stuff. And what I'm trying to figure out these days is, what am I going to do with it all?
Yeah, right, right. Well, you can open it to the public.
I can start a museum.
Yeah. Well, Gretzky, right, has the most famous basement. Their marketing gurus came up with a brilliant idea, is they moved it all from the house in Brantford, because Walter died, of course, and so he had this extraordinary basement with stuff nobody's ever seen about his young hockey days right up through retirement. So they gathered it all, and they've got it in a place now that's open to the public, and it's called Gretzky's Basement. Well, that's what we should do for you, Warren.
Well, a really unique thing I have, because I was the managing editor of the Extra Ann Curling Canada magazine for about 30 years. So I have about 5,000 photographs. And I also recovered a number of photographs from the old McDonald Tobacco days. So I've got 8x10s of a lot of winners of Breyers going back into the 40s, 50s, 60s. A lot of action shots from that point in time.
Warren, does anybody else have them?
No, I have about 200 photos that I'm the only one in the world that has them, because I acquired them from McDonald shortly after they departed. So got a lot of kind of unique things, and certainly the photographs are one of them.
Each week, we're going to pick something from your basement. We're going to put it up on the Facebook page. Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
That's actually a really good idea, Jim.
Yeah, we'll put it up to show them all the things Warren has. Boy, that'll be quick to go through those photos, Warren. 5,000
We got to do this podcast for a long time at one a week.
Yeah.
With photos like that, they've got to be stored in an upright position. So they're in filing cabinets. So there's about 2.5 filing cabinets that are pretty much full of photos.
So, Jim, let's get to the truth of it. So Warren said, "I wonder what I'm going to do with it." Warren's wife is wondering, "What the hell am I going to do with all this crap that Warren has picked up over the years?"
Throw something up on Facebook Marketplace, Warren, and if your wife sees it, if it sells for $300 or $400 and you've got 15 jillion other items, I know what I would do if I was your wife.
And we won't even get into the pins. There's about 3,000 pins.
Oh, yeah. Cool, man. Very good. Yep, we're going to do that. Warren, you're going to start putting stuff up on our Facebook page from your Warren's basement. Okay, Kev, we've got our final set in the men's worlds. I did not get up to watch any of it. I was a big talker. Warren sent me a note, Kevin. He goes, Jim, the curling's on at 8 a.m. LOL. Kevin, I'm not going to tell you who's in the final, okay? Kevin, I'm going to let you bring it to the masses here, and a massive surprise that this is going to be.
It's really a shocker. It absolutely is. In the sheet that I covered today was Italy against Sweden. Sweden, of course, I'm just going to read the numbers here. So after five ends, Italy was shooting 92% as a team. Mujaner at third, 100% after five ends. After five ends, they're down 2-1 without Hammer. Nicodine is shooting 100 after five. Their team, 96%. At the end of the game, Jim, Team Sweden shot 95% as a team. Nicodine did miss a shot once the game was kind of over before he ever missed one. He was 100% after eight. And by that time, of course, they were up 5-1. So Nick did miss a shot, but it didn't mean anything. So Nicodine was just absolutely ridiculously good today. They did play through the 10th end. Joel, on his last one, actually could have rolled to sit three, and then Nick would have had to either make a hit and stay to win or draw the 8-foot to win. But Joel didn't quite make his last one, so that was that game. On the Canada-Scotland game, the other semifinal, I did not cover this particular game, but it was actually right in front of me, so I saw it really well. Terrific game. Bruce Mallett and company played great. So did Brad Guju and company, played great. Actually, after five ends, Bruce Mallett managed to wrestle the Hammer away, tied 3-3, and Mallett had Hammer in six. Great situation. Brad and group of Canada played a terrific end, and Bruce had to lob a draw in there to the full 8-foot for one, but he would have been one up after six. The sweepers pound it pillar to post, a steal of 3 and 6. Canada stole 3, yeah. And then they couldn't recover after that. 4 and 7, 3 more and 8, ball game. Shook 9-4, Canada wins. Canada-Sweden, Guju against Adin in the final. Not a shocker. Both teams are playing incredible curling right now. Both. Mark Nichols on fire, Nick Adin on fire. This is going to be some kind of game. I was just talking to Hamming Millen Sr. That's why I'm late. I am never late. You guys agree to that? I'm never late.
Never late.
Never.
Never.
No.
And I'm late today because Hamming Millen Sr. tracks me down. I want to talk about the game, of course, and then tomorrow's game, the bronze game, because Scotland lost. He says, you know this, Kevin, you got to go home with something. Even if you lose a semi, you got to win that bronze game. But I'm going, yeah, but it's Scotland against Italy.
Right.
Bruce Mallett, number two in the world, against Retornaz, number one in the world, right. For goodness sakes.
For bronze.
It's one against two. But yeah, for bronze. I'm going like, Hammy, what do you mean you got to win? That's the two best curling teams rankings in the world. I understand they both lost the semis, and it's going to be, you know, Brad and Nick battling it out in the final of the gold game. But it was funny. You know, he goes, well, we got to win this one. Well, yeah, but you're playing Retornaz.
I know.
It's just not that easy, you know? So anyway, it's going to be a great bronze game too. So then, of course, I'm talking to Hammy. We've been friends for so long. Anyway, and I said, yeah, but guess what? I'm actually flying home Sunday. I'm not doing the games tomorrow. I get home really, really late to Edmonton tomorrow night because I got to be in Toronto Tuesday morning because guess what? The Players' Championship is starting. So these guys, these four teams are all, of course, favorites to do well there too. But they're curling through to Sunday night. They're going to travel to Toronto on Monday. They play Tuesday.
Yeah, and I think, interesting enough, I think it's Tuesday afternoon that, guess what? Adin plays Guju.
You're right, Warren. Tuesday night in Toronto at the old Maple Leaf Gardens at 6:30 p.m. on Sheet C, Brad Guju is playing Nick Adin. Oh, my.
So we'll have the replay in 2 days.
A rematch on Tuesday
tomorrow.
tomorrow, somebody's going to win or lose. And they play each other 2 days later in Toronto. This is awesome.
The jet lag open. What about, there's probably a bunch of other teams coming there too, Kev, from the Worlds.
Well, yeah, hang on. So you've got Bruce Mowat playing at 11:30 a.m. against Brad Jacobs. Nothing easy about that. Joel Retornaz curling against Mike McEwen Tuesday night. So, yes.
They're going to be wasted, those guys.
Schwaller is playing Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. against James Craik out of Scotland. So, yes, it's not going to be real easy for them. No.
And that's right. Tough. That's right in Warren's kitchen. That'll drive him nuts that they don't think ahead and go, maybe we shouldn't have scheduled it on this that week, but... We love our group.
Well, it's like the PGA Tour. They end Sunday and they are in the next place Monday and they're on the practice rounds Tuesday. So it's the way of life in that world.
Absolutely. It's all good.
Let's talk a little more about this draw that just finished, in particular the game between Gushue and Mowat. So after the fifth in, Gushue opened with a deuce, which he was in control, and then it sort of seemed to be a shift in momentum in the fifth in when Mowat made just an outstanding shot with his final one to pretty much make Gushue in a position to having to take one, and that was it. And then we come back in the sixth end. Mowat is still seemingly in control, not a hard draw, and as Kevin mentioned, it came up short. So we saw Benoit Schwartz do it yesterday, where he had to draw virtually the 4 foot to win the game and was about 6 feet heavy. This is one of the reasons why I never liked skipping, and I couldn't really deal with it, because you miss a shot like that, you've got to bounce back from that. Kevin, you've done it many times. How does a skip who misses a shot like Mowat did, you've been there, how do you bounce back from that? What goes through your head?
Well, they got forced the next in and gave up three more the next. And Mowat's about as good as any player in the world. So it is very difficult to bounce back. And I'm not sure you do in that game. You're down 3-2 Gushue after six. You're in trouble. You're going to lose that game almost every time. Yeah, you're in trouble. I don't know if you do recover. Now, can he recover for tomorrow to give Retornaz a run in the bronze? I believe he can. Yes, but you just can't miss a shot like that in this caliber of play. Now, I want to talk about the building a bit, you guys. So, frost is an issue, no question, but that's okay. The ice maker's done a great job of trying to keep it under control. Last night, Rona Martin, used to be Rona Martin, a gold medalist from 2002. She's really in charge of setting things up at all these events for the World Curling Federation, for World Curling. She got to the rink at 3:30 in the morning. They set up an entire, because it's an over sellout. So they set up an entire bank of big bleachers, like I don't know how many they hold, almost the same size as the other side. And they're completely sold out too. So this rather small rink that maybe holds, I'm going to say 1,500, 1,800, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then they put in another whole bank of bleachers. So now this small building has 2,500 in it or something, packed. Like it's all oversold. Mm-hmm. And the heat issue is an issue. Like there's so many people in the building, and humidity, a huge issue. So the second half, and Brad Gushue in his interview after the game, he was interviewed by Rona Howie, and he said the same thing. It's just the first five ends, the ice was absolutely incredible. Every shot could be made. But with so many people in the building, it got really frosty the second half. And that's when Bruce missed that draw. And did it grab frost? Did it whatever? You know, the sweepers did jump on it all the way, but it's interesting. It's going to make for a great game tomorrow. The first five ends are going to be off the charts, but if it's close, it's going to be a wild finish, which is great.
A lot of the shots, Warren, that you guys are talking about when you review these games, it seems to me anyway that and I'm assuming it may have something to do with the frost, is a lot of the missed shots are weight. They either came up short or they fired it too far. It seems to me, anyway.
Well, direction is so controllable now with the brooms. It's so controllable. And in the Italy-Sweden game, the whole game came down to a Nicodine grabbing the deuce. And they really had the deuce set up, even if Joel, he flashed his one. But then he made an unbelievable double on the second to hold them to two. But they were going to get two anyway. Then the force. The force was the big one. And this one I want to talk about. This is curling smarts. So Nicodine's playing a hit and roll around a corner guard. If he hits and rolls dead buried, good. But if he hits and rolls half rock over buried, Joel's going to hit and roll to the outside 8 foot. He's going to get two right back. So Oscar Erickson calls the sweeping. They roll a half a rock not far enough. George Tonaz made the best shot he could possibly make, taps it back, but a half a rock showing, Nick makes a thin double, force. And that was really the game. The only other missed shot of importance in the game was in six, when Joel Retornas has a kind of a nose, just off nose hit to lie two to force Sweden to only take 1 point, and that would have been a 3-1 lead after six. And then if Retornas can manage to grab a deuce, it's a tie, right? So other than that, the game was played perfectly. It was absolutely remarkable curling by both teams. It was just Nickodeen shot 100% after eight ends, and you're just not going to beat that.
Let's talk a bit about this game tomorrow, because this is going to be something, too, as to what's at stake here. Let's talk about Nickodeen. From my calculation, this will be his eighth world final. He's won six, and he lost one. So he's got six golds and one silver going into tomorrow. And, oh, by the way, he also has two bronze. So he's going for his record-setting, beyond record, seventh world. We got Brad Gushue. As we know, Brad Gushue has won the Brier since 2017 six times. However, this is only his fifth world championship because he missed 2020 because of COVID. So Brad coming into tomorrow as well, this will be his fifth final. So every time he's been there, he's been in the final. He so far has one gold and three silver. So Brad's going for two golds and three silver after tomorrow, or one gold and four silver. Nevertheless, a pretty outstanding record. And just to tell you what's going to be on the line there tomorrow for both those teams.
I got a question for both of you. One and two is in the bronze. And but how are Adin and Gushue ranked for the gold?
Yeah, that's a really good question to ask. Ranking. So right now, Brad Gushue is number six. Nicholas Adin is number seven. Yannick Schwaller, who didn't qualify, is number five. Ross White is number four, who didn't get to come because Bruce came. Brendan Botcher is number three, who didn't come because Brad Gushue came. But that's how the pecking order. I guess as far as the teams, the top five, you got Retornas one, Mowat two, Schwaller would be number three in the worlds. But they should have been in the playoffs, just Benoit missed the button. He had the outturn draw to the button, just came up heavy and lost out. And then you got Gushue six or four in this event, and Nicholas Adin in five. Really, really pretty cool stuff.
Yeah. Good curling teams.
They're good curling teams.
Yeah. Warren, I'll let you think about this one because I'll ask you the same thing when I'll ask Kevin. They're really good. I get it, Adin and Gushue, but you got to come up with some sort of strategy to play Gushue, for example, Kevin. Is there a weak spot in this guy's game? How would you beat him, Kevin? How would you try and beat Brad Gushue?
Okay, so there is no weak spots in either Nickodeen's game or Brad Gushue's game. Both thirds are amazing. Mark Nichols is on fire. Right now, Nickodeen's shooting 100. So you might give an edge, I guess, shooting-wise to Nick over Brad. It's hard to even say that with a straight face because, my God. But I probably would do that. Mark Nichols is incredible right now. So you got to give a bit of an edge at third. Oscar Erickson's been having some outturn trouble. I actually asked Nick about that, and he dodged. Rasmus Vrana is number 1 second in the entire thing. So you got to give a little advantage at second. And at lead, Christopher Sundgren's number one, but Jeff Walker's awesome. So I don't know if you give anybody an advantage at lead. Strategy-wise, what do you do? Well, you play a really smart game, and you need to make one less half shot than the other team. It's really that close, Jim. It comes down to almost nothing between the two. When you're talking about these two teams, I don't think it's because like Brad can't draw or Nick can't hit. You know what I mean? There's no hole in the armor. It's just you play the game. Like today, Italy against Sweden. Canada against Scotland too, other than one missed draw, which was really weird for Bruce Mount to miss the 8 foot. Italy played a great game. They played a number one rank in the world game and lost. Sweden was just better today. And that's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know which way, but that's okay. That's great. It's wonderful.
It's like a game of chess, Jim. You start to play and you know what your objective is. I think it's fairly simple. When the opponent has last rock, you want to force them to take one. And when you have last rock, you want to score two. And you're going to try and, as each end unfolds, to manipulate and maneuver things, that's going to be the result. And if you can do that more often than the opponent, you win.
I'm getting the sense the only way you're going to beat him is if you tackled one of the sweepers when they were coming down the ice.
They both feel that way, Jim.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
you never know. Strange things can happen. I mean, this is always the big thing with these draw shots, but I always hold my breath because there's so many things that can go wrong with a draw shot. It can pick. It can have all sorts of, you know, reactions that you maybe hadn't anticipated. The brushers are in very close, brushing hard. They can burn it. There's all kinds of things that can happen to those draw shots. So sometimes in the game of this nature, that's what's going to happen, like it did today with Bruce. Just something happens, you lose one of those crucial draws and turn the page. And the other thing is, of course, Dean's got last rock in the first end, which gives him a little bit of an edge as well.
Sven Mikkel, his broom breaks right between his hands, for goodness sakes. You can't control some things in sport. It's just the way it goes. Mejonner was shooting 100%. Well, because it picked, he didn't lose the marks. He's playing a freeze in, I'd like to say it's eighth end. It might have been sixth. And it took off. He's shooting 100%, but it picked. What do you do about that? Nothing. It's just, yeah, Armand, it might have been Giovanella. His broom was actually down in front of the rock. They were cleaning, and somehow it grabbed a little something.
Right.
You know, it's no different than when you're hitting a golf ball and you hit a sprinkler head. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it can happen, and it bing, into the bush it goes. You know, what the heck?
At one time, I thought they should be allowed to take the shot over.
Well, no.
Well, you hit a piece of straw.
we say that quite a bit.
So let's say, Jim, you're golfing and your putt hit a divot. Do it again. You don't think so?
Well, maybe we play that. We do it that way, but I don't think we're playing by real rules.
Maybe there's a piece of chestnut from a squirrel in the rafters, or a bird takes a crap or something. I don't know. Maybe. Okay.
That was Bern. That's a different place. This is Schaffhausen. Bern, that can happen because the end of the rink is open. I was talking to a lady who actually played in the 97 Worlds. And geez, we had a great conversation because she remembers the birds flying over her heads in 97. 97 Worlds were in Bern, Switzerland. Yeah, it was great.
Good deal. Warren, we did some picks, and I was doing so well. I got a feeling I took a nosedive again. So to the good listener, if you'd like to lay a little bet on the curling, listen to my picks and go the opposite way.
Well, it's probably the problem is Jim's picks aren't exactly scientific. I think Kevin and I are looking at a few things. It's how the percentages are and what's been happening and what are the trends, which, Jim, you're not. So Jim picked Canada against Italy for the final. And of course, that would be Scotland versus Sweden. So half right. And Kevin and Warren made the same pick, Sweden, Canada in the final, Italy, Scotland in the bronze. So we're 100%, and Jim, you're 50%. So there we go.
Shit.
So now for tomorrow. What do you pick, Jim? Gold, silver, bronze?
I'll tell you what, Schuster doesn't stand a chance in the final.
Poor Schuster. We're going to get Schuster on the show, and he can beat up on you.
Yeah, you can't. I'm going. I want Guzzi to win. You know, I live in Canada, man. Yep.
So you're picking Canada to win.
Yeah, I'm picking Canada. Yep.
And who's going to take the bronze?
Italy.
Okay. So Jim is Canada, Sweden, Italy in that order. Warren is Sweden, Canada, Scotland.
I need to tell Guzzi you didn't pick him.
Well, there's a big issue here, Jim. Sweden has last rock in the first end, and in a game of this nature, with those two teams at the caliber of that, that's huge. And that's without question gives him an edge. And Adin just came off a sheet of ice where he shot 100%. So hard to not look in that direction.
All right, Kevin.
Oh, I know. I think Brad Gushue is going to win the gold. It's going to be a tough game, though, both ways. But I think Canada wins. And then the bronze. Oh, my goodness. Italy played so good today and didn't win. But they've got that fan support. I'm not sure, like in Canada, when you guys are watching, are they showing the Italian fans a lot?
They're not a lot, no.
It's unreal, you guys.
Is that right?
So they got buses that have come full of people. And there wasn't music. Like outside, there's this big courtyard that has drinking and tents and stuff and music. So the Italian fellas went down and bought a big boom box and they got the music blaring out there and they're dancing and chanting and singing. And that's what they're doing in the building. Like it's incredible.
Super cool.
They've got the fan support. So I'm going to pick Italy wins the bronze.
Okay. So we've got a little variation here. We've got Jim, Canada, Sweden, Italy. We have Warren, Sweden, Canada, Scotland, and Kevin, Canada, Sweden, Italy. He made the same picks as you, Jim.
Well, because he listens to me.
So that's there why. We yeah. go.
I actually was doing something else. I didn't hear Jim's. I might have changed it.
He's like, stats, schmatch. Forget the stats. Go with Jerome. Okay, there we go. I'm assuming the bronze medal game is played first. That'll be 10 a.m. in Switzerland, and the gold medal game will be at 3 p.m. in Switzerland. So we're not going to try and break it all down for you. You figure out what time zone you're in and go from there. Good luck. Go Canada! Warren, before we go, there's another event. The U25 event continues in Saskatoon, the best of the West. What's happening there, Warren?
Right. So as we mentioned yesterday, U25 event, which is a very important one, is a few years old, but it's got some of the best young teams that we can look to for the future. So there's 12 women, 12 men. In each division, there's an A pool and a B pool. So they're now into day three, playing a round robin, and then the top three teams in each section will advance to the playoffs that start Saturday evening. So right now in the A pool on the men's side, at top of the ladder is Ryan Kleiter at 4-0. Then we have Jordan McDonald at 3-1 and Josh Bryden at 2-2. Over in the B pool, Ryan Weeb is at 4-0, Brent Walters at 3-1, and Jared Kolomaya is at 2-1. In the women's side in the A pool, Serena Gray Withers, 3-1, Taylor Reese Hansen, 3-1, and Abby Marks, 3-1. In the B pool at the top, at 4-0 is Jessica Wytrakowski. In second spot at 3-1, Kayla Skrilik. And at 2-2, Emily Bowes. So again, that continues through Saturday. The quarterfinals are Saturday night and the semis and finals are on Sunday.
There's what's happening around the curling world. We do it each and every week. It's sponsored by Jackpot City. Jackpot City casino games perfectly made for you. Sounds like Switzerland did a great job. Once again, tomorrow, 10 a.m. in Switzerland is the bronze medal game between Italy and Scotland, and the gold medal game, Guju and Adine at 3 o'clock Swiss time. Also, a reminder before we go, Kevin, you brought it up, Tuesday is the kickoff to the Prince's Auto Players Championship in Toronto. That's the one they play at the old Maple Leaf Gardens, isn't it?
You bet. Yeah. What a wonderful venue. Yes.
And Guju plays Adine. They're gonna. Hopefully, the game in Switzerland doesn't go extra ends because they won't have time to start the other game. The two of them.
Well, they're going to need a rest, and maybe they can work out a deal before they start this game tomorrow. That we'll just take whoever wins that game will be also the winner Tuesday. We won't have to play.
Let's flip a coin. Yeah, for the gold.
Yeah, right. Can you imagine the people in Toronto? They're all going to be coming to watch the world final played again on Tuesday. Oh, guys, we decided that the winner on Sunday gets to win this one, too.
Yeah, it's only a round robin, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
One of our favorite segments of the show is our guest spot that we do each and every week, or we have been doing it, and we get great guests. The spot's called In the House. It's brought to you by Goldline Curling. Goldline Curling is proud to be the founding partner of United We Curl, a nonprofit focused on expanding diversity in curling. Learn more from UnitedWeCurl.com. Well, I didn't have to do the show from the bathroom. Neither did you, Kevin. We got her done. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in this week with our special shows. And I suspect, Warren, you got us doing that again next week during the Slam.
We will be doing reports again next weekend from the Grand Slam, where Kevin will be at Amenemy Center.
And our regular show, too.
And our regular show. Right? Yes.
I got to bone up. I'm going to show Hansen. I'm going to look at stats.
Yeah, start studying the whole thing.
You know what? That's a lie. I'm not going to look at stats. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to all our sponsors, and thanks to you, the good listener. And thank you to our two World Curling Hall of Famers, the one and only Kevin Martin, the GOAT, and the governor, the ambassador, the pastor, okay, of all things curling, Warren Hansen. Do you see, Warren, I add a title each show. I add a new title for you.
What do you want, Jim, a raise?
Yeah, I do. Don't ask twice, okay? Take it easy, boys. Go Canada, go! Let's do this thing. See you, Kev. See you, Warren.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Jimmy.